Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist. Please stand and join in singing to hymn 206 as found in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the temple police had brought the apostles out of the temple, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
reading from the book of Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
There is a verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3 of 2 Timothy, that says, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires." Now, this happy verse is actually a word of encouragement. You take the whole paragraph, the instruction to Timothy is keep telling the story of Jesus, keep sharing, keep don't lag in zeal, be humble, keep telling the story. And then it says this verse, "But know that there will be people who won't listen to you, and that's okay." And then the verse immediately after says, "But continue to be humble and keep telling the story and do your work, and it will be okay." So the whole paragraph is meant to be a word of encouragement. Sometimes people don't listen when we try to share the good news. That happens. The verse, unfortunately, often gets used as a weapon thrown at people that one disagrees with. A couple of years ago, we had a young man visit at the Wednesday service, shook his hand, introduced myself. He didn't hang around for a chat and left. Later, I got an email. The email sent to me through our website in a way that I couldn't respond to it. This person said, "Based on what you said, I have one thing to tell you." And then he quotes this verse. Didn't say what I had said to upset him, just sent me that verse to let me know I was on the wrong track in his mind. And I thought to myself when I read it, well, I hope he got it out of his system so the rest of his day is better. Right? And he never came back. But there is this tendency, isn't there? There is this tendency, even among religious folks, to be mean and to tell other people they're bad and wrong. There is this tendency to hurl Bible verses at each other. And I don't think Bible verses were ever intended as weapons. But there is this tendency that we have to do that. I know in my own life, I have to really work hard at this, and sometimes I fail. Usually, the only place I really fail at this is when someone tells me women shouldn't be ordained, and quicker than I can think, I'm firing Romans 16 at them and just generally having hysterics. Right? But I want to suggest to you that this human tendency to tell other people they're wrong, and this human tendency to get a rush of a feeling of identity by separating myself from the other person, I want to suggest to you that that is at one end of a continuum that stretches all the way to shootings in synagogues and mosques and churches. And I want to further suggest that when we work on this end of our own tendency to make other people bad and wrong and to throw Bible verses at them or whatever, what we do by working on that and trying to stop that is we help the whole world work on eliminating the conditions that produce this other end, where we tell people how bad and wrong they are to affirm our own identity and then shoot them. I remember some years ago, my friend Vicki Garvey, many of you met her several years ago when she preached here. Vicki was just sputtering with upset. And I'm like, "Vicki, what's wrong?" She had encountered a video game that was produced by a group where the player is a Christian and has to convert all the other Jews and Muslims or kill them to win the game. I join her in her upset about that. Right? But that's part of the problem, isn't it? That's part of the problem. We have this tendency to define ourselves in opposition to others. And we have a tendency to live down to our worst potentials when we do that. I have often said in consulting with churches that many times churches have the worst fights when you and I get together and conspire to bring out the worst in each other. And we do that with accusation and with hostility and upset. That's how we do that. I want to suggest to you that the readings today offer us a different vision, that they offer us a different approach altogether. In the reading from the book of Acts, you know, it's an interesting reading. The apostles and disciples they're doing what we think was a common practice in the very earliest days of the church, which is to worship in the temple, and then especially on Saturdays to go home at sundown, which makes it Sunday. They go back to one of each other's homes and have the community meal, which is the beginnings of the Eucharist. So, but they're still going into the temple to worship. And when they go into the temple to worship, they talk about Jesus. They preach. And the synagogue officials, the temple officials, have them arrested and put in jail and tell them don't do that. And they get released. They get miraculously released. And they're back in the temple the next week and they're doing it again. So the temple officials have them arrested again and they bring them before them and they say, "Why are you doing this? You're trying to pin this man's blood on us," say they suspiciously. And the apostles' response, which you get a better sense of with a bigger chunk of the text than what we get this morning, is, look, we have to do what God tells us to do. And God tells us to tell people about Jesus, whom, yeah, you did kill, but that's not the hot issue here. The hot issue is God raised him from the dead. And he brings liberation and peace and forgiveness to everyone, even you if you'll accept it. So the interesting irony here is that the temple leaders are expecting his blood, you're trying to pin his blood on us, as in finding guilt. And the apostles are trying to pin Jesus' blood on them, as in finding redemption. Right? So they're clashing over the blood in a way, but with very different meanings. Very, very different meanings. And so the temple officials are expecting the worst. They're feeling defensive. They're feeling guarded. They're feeling like there's a power play at foot. In today's language, the ultimate power play is the use of guns in a house of worship. It's what they're expecting. The apostles and disciples are trying to offer them liberation and freedom. Much the same is true in the gospel. Poor Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. Really sad. Because Thomas ultimately only asks for what the other leaders got. Jesus showed up, showed them his hands and his side, breathed on them, did all these wonderful things while Thomas wasn't there. And they go and they tell Thomas the story. And they say, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas is like, "Well, I want to see him too. I want to put my hands in the mark of the nails and in his side. I want to see him too. You got two? I want two." So Jesus shows up and he doesn't critique Thomas. He says, "Oh, Thomas, here. You want to see? Now guess what?" says Jesus. You see and believe. There are going to be a whole bunch of people who believe because you tell the story. That's your job. Go and tell the story. This is the new covenant. Our collect talks about the new covenant of reconciliation. The new covenant of reconciliation is the bringing together of what was once divided. That's what the word reconciliation means, to bring together that which was divided. And when we're hostile and defensive and we define ourselves in opposition to the other person, we're increasing the division rather than bringing together what was once divided. And what we're given in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the promise that we can be brave about bringing together. We can be brave and confident about bringing the divided together in the risen one. Our identity is in the risen Christ. The biggest threat of all to our identity is death, and he's handled that. So it's an invitation into the new covenant of reconciliation, an invitation into the bringing together, into the gathering together, an invitation into stop defining ourselves in opposition to others and making them bad and wrong. Instead, proclaiming, friends, there's lots of grace in Jesus Christ. All I'm here to do is share grace. That's the challenge that we're given today. That's the challenge we're given by these readings. That's the challenge we're given by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We love it every Easter when we sing the Troparion. And I love celebrating the triumph of Christ over death. And what that triumph of Christ over death is meant to do is not only reassure us and bind our life to God's life, but it's also meant to give us courage. Courage to be people who unite instead of divide. Courage to be people who don't make others bad and wrong, to feel a strong sense of self. Courage to not use Bible verses as projectiles. Courage to proclaim love and grace, not rightness and wrongness. To live into the promises of the resurrection is to live into the new covenant of reconciliation. And to do so joyfully and bravely. To take the courage that's needed to bind the broken back together. As you are able, please stand and join in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
All-prevailing God, your unconquerable love is manifest in the resurrection of Christ.
The risen one appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Help us to cherish our world as the greenhouse of life, caring for our environment and all people as the ones for whom Christ lived, died, and rose.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully along your way. The risen one appeared to the disciples in the locked room of their fears. Help the nations of the world and all in authority to be gentle and respectful with people's hopes and anxieties. We pray for Donald, our president, Gretchen, our governor, and the mayors of Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities. We pray for all those who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, and Stephen.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Serving the helpless, working for equality, living hopefully along your way.
The risen one appeared by the sea. We remember before you those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, especially Josh, Jody, and Lori, who was killed at Congregation Chabad.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Proclaiming the resurrection, comforting those who mourn, living hopefully along your way. The risen one was known by the good works he had done. We pray for the mission and ministry of St. Luke's Church, asking you to call forth new leaders, new workers, and fresh vitality.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Putting our spirituality in action, living hopefully along your way.
The risen one was known by the commandment to love one another. We pray for all who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Marilyn, Virginia, Judy, Teresa, Judy, and those injured at Congregation Chabad.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Practicing concern and care, advocating for health and salvation, living hopefully along your way. The risen one was known by the sending of the Advocate. We pray for the Spirit to empower the worldwide Anglican Communion, Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays, Elizabeth, Madeline, Ryan, Dee, David, Gus, Ed, Rosemary, those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Beth and Jonathan, Mary and Richard, Linda and Larry, and those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Randy, Ginny, Al, and Kathy.
Help us, O God, to be the good news.
Listening for the Spirit's guidance, speaking in the Spirit's power, living hopefully along your way.
Gracious and loving God, for no merit on our part, you have brought us out of death into life, out of sorrow into joy. Put no end to your gifts. Fulfill your marvelous acts in us and grant to us who have been justified by faith the strength to persevere in that faith through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Now, there's supposed to be a basket back there for UTO boxes. All right. So if you haven't, we've been collecting our change for the United Thank Offering. If you have your blue box and you haven't put it in the basket, it's a good thing to do that now, because it will come up with the offering and we'll say a prayer. If you need to do that, take care of that now. The Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. Pray. Gracious God, source of all creation, all love, all true joy, accept, we pray, these outward signs of our profound and continuing thankfulness for all of life. Each of us ever thankful for all the blessings of joy and challenge that come our way. Bless those who will benefit from these gifts through the outreach of the United Thank Offering. This we ask through him who is the greatest gift and blessing of all, Jesus Christ. Amen. And indeed, all that we have is God's, and all that we offer is God's. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Hallelujah.
Chris, Craig, and Dave, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those to whom you go may share with us in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Please stand. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.